I'm Sarah Smelser, Winfield United agronomist for Southern Illinois and Missouri.
Great. That looks good, Sarah. Okay, we'll get started.
Okay.
You guys have done some tissue sampling, and data reveals some information about corn that growers need to know about. So kind of tell us what you did and what you found out.
Sure. So every year we take hundreds of tissue samples across the state, and through 2017 we had about 450 corn tissue samples, and what we ended up seeing is that, honestly, we did slightly better than normal with our macronutrition this last year. We still did see some deficiencies in things like nitrogen and potassium and sulfur over 2016, but we can talk what I think that attributed to that. But then we also saw quite a bit of micronutrient deficiency in 2017 as well.
Okay, so any kind of deficiency is not good, and you can talk
sure.
more specifically why, but if you want to address the macronutrient issue first.
Sure, so I think when anytime you're talking nutrition, you got to think about what the environment did for you during that year, if you're taking a look back into the previous year. And in 2017, you know, we had some pretty timely rainfalls early on, maybe untimely for planting, but we had a lot of rain through the spring, and it stayed fairly cool and wet. So we ended up seeing deficiencies in some of the mobile nutrients, things like nitrogen and sulfur, which I would expect to see when we have a lot of rainfall. You would see less of that as long as the nitrogen is being stabilized, but in cases where it wasn't stabilized, you see a lot more movement of those nutrients through the soil. And with the rain we had, you know, quite a bit of rain through the spring, and then it continued through most of the summer as well. And in parts of the state, we saw a lot of replant because of that rain. So I think we lost a lot of our mobile nutrients during that process.
Okay, and then what explains the micronutrient deficiencies?
So the micronutrients that we saw that were deficient, so we about 10% more than what we saw in 2016. So we saw deficiencies in boron and manganese and zinc. And boron's one of those mobile nutrients. So I think we lost a lot, and people apply it as a soil-applied product sometimes, and so I think where that was applied early on and then we got the rainfall, that pushed the boron down through the soil profile. In terms of manganese and zinc, I mean, if you look at those, their mobility in the soil is much more limited. And so you think, well, what happened? Well, for the places that we had replant and we were able to get a good established crop, I mean, if you look at the yields across the state and really across the country, they were higher than they have been in past years. And we had down in the Boot Hill, we had just some record yields for corn and for soybeans this past year. So I think what you start to see is we had a lot of utilization in places where the soil temperatures were ideal, like we did see in the Boot Hill. But then for manganese, you start to see deficiency symptoms increase for manganese when you're in that cool and wet environment, which we saw a lot of, especially through the mid and upper part of Missouri this year.
So how does all this information after the fact help growers with their decisions moving forward?
Well, I think it gives them just a little bit of insight into, you know, when you can take a look back, it can always help you prepare for the year to come. So when I'm sitting down and reviewing the previous year and trying to make plans for the next one, I think you spend the time making the plan. So talking about what some of the possibilities are, talking through, okay, well, we understand why this happened this last year, so how can we plan for maybe to prevent it or to compensate for it this year. And so I think that's making sure that an adequate fertility program is in the plans for a grower for the coming year, because especially in the commodity price situation that we're in today, you know, things like micronutrients, which are, you know, while they're not macronutrients, they're still play some vital roles in plant growth and development. And, you know, for instance, I was just talking about manganese, and manganese plays a key role in photosynthesis. And if you don't have it, you have yellow plants. And it also in enzyme function and in stress. And there's always some kind of stress out there, typically. You know, last year I would say we had water stress early on, but then the rest of the year it was a pretty good year. And so manganese really plays a role in that. And then boron is important for plant stability and cell wall stability and for pollination for later in the season. And then for zinc, it's really important in cell division and that early season growth. And so when you understand that and you can put it in the plan, right, then you can adjust in season. So I always like to make sure that it's a part of the plan at the beginning of the season. You have a solid fertility program in place and you have plans to take tissue samples. That way you can see what that hidden hunger is and what the plant's really saying, hey, I need more of this. You know, so maybe you have had really ideal growing, you know, say we have ideal growing seasons for 2018 and they think, well, everything must be going really well. Well, that's true. You've got some really good growing plants, but is there some hidden hunger? You know, can we move the mark to increase our yield beyond what the environment's just going to give us? So making sure that tissue sampling is a part of that program, that way you can have in-season adjustments throughout the season.
And you guys did tissue sampling throughout the Corn Belt, and I think we've talked to you about some of our other states. Was there any trend, any big surprise, anything you'd like to share about the bigger picture?
You know, I think from a national perspective, it was pretty consistent for what we've seen in past years. I do think that what was a little bit surprising is that, and good, I would say, is that our nitrogen deficiencies have decreased in the areas where we want to make sure that we're not seeing as much deficiency, which of course, like, we don't want to see deficiency anywhere, but I think in some of those places where there's concern about nitrogen leaching and it moving into water supplies, we've seen better utilization of that through stabilization of products. And so I think we're starting to be able to pick up on some of that through our tissue sampling as well.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add, Sarah?
Only thing else I think that's important is if any listeners have any questions on nutrients or maybe nutritional products, they can check out winfieldunited.com.